us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. Today, you're going to pay down your credit card bill. But you decide when you'll pay it. Before the due date, so those interest charges don't get you. But you decide if you pay it in full. But you definitely should, because, again, interest charges. With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House touting President Trump's first 30 days in office. At today's briefing, Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt says the president has signed dozens of executive orders and kept his pledge to cut federal spending.
Today marks 1 month of President Trump's return to the Oval Office, and there is no denying this administration is off to a historic start.
National Security Advisor Mike Waltz working to clarify the president's recent comments and frustration with Ukraine's President Zelensky, saying President Trump wants to negotiate peace, but says Zelensky is not showing appreciation or willingness to repay the U.S. for aid sent to defend against Russian attacks. Pope Francis remains in a Rome hospital. The 88-year-old pontiff is battling double pneumonia. The Vatican says the pope is currently fever-free and his condition is improving. Israeli police say they have responded to a series of explosions on buses and a suspected militant attack in Tel Aviv. No one was injured. This is ABC News. In California, the Menendez brothers, convicted more than 3 decades ago for the killings of their parents, are waiting for a judge to hear their arguments next month at a hearing that could secure their release.
In a phone call from behind bars, Lyle and Eric Menendez told a TMZ podcast hosted by their attorney, Mark Garagos, and TMZ's Harvey Levin that they are eagerly awaiting their resentencing hearing set for next month, which was delayed from December to then January and now March.
I think we're mostly dealing with the reactions of our family, who are very anxious, and the delays are very upsetting for them.
They claim in the podcast they have evolved over the 35 years that they've been in prison. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Promising research in the fight against pancreatic cancer. A preliminary study shows a personalized mRNA vaccine may reduce the risk of pancreatic cancer returning after surgery. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
As of 9 a.m. this morning, our EV trucking company is officially in operation.
Andrew's zero-emission trucks are driving the transportation category forward.
We'll make driving safer, easier, and less stressful.
Now our technology needs to keep up with demand.
He needs to put pedal to the metal on hiring more software engineers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Jake from State Farm.
I just beat my running PR.
So?
I'm celebrating with a Banana Bonanza smoothie.
Hey, and you can keep celebrating when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. Go bananas.
I will. Hey, make it a large!
Bundling. Just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. A Republican-authored bill reversing Department of Public Instruction test standards was approved along party lines in the Wisconsin Assembly Wednesday. The bill's author, Representative Robert Witke.
There's no legislative oversight on the scoring and assessment of our kids. So this bill will establish that. It will take us back to where we were before the health emergency, and then it will tie us to the national assessment governing body, so we will be once again allowed to compare ourselves to other states.
The bill reverses changes made to state testing standards made under State Superintendent Jill Underley, who's up for re-election in April. Democratic Governor Tony Evers' proposed two-year state budget's now in the hands of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, where Republican co-chair Senator Howard Markline says Evers' policy preferences will be weeded out.
We're going back to base like we have for the last several budgets. We're going to build a budget that's fair, that's sustainable into the future and doesn't impact our businesses and our families adversely.
Evers' plan includes a more than $3 billion increase in state funding for K-12 schools. After vowing earlier this week that he wouldn't cut Medicaid, President Donald Trump Wednesday indicated he's on board with a House Republican budget resolution that calls for $880 billion in cuts to the program. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Their ultimate goal, what everything is working towards, is a massive tax break for the very wealthy. That is the whole ballgame. This whole process to find room in the budget for those cuts is consuming the House, the Senate, and the White House.
Baldwin warned that cuts to the program that provides health insurance to low-income Americans will not be painless and will fall especially hard on rural Wisconsin. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Finally, some comfortable temperatures with highs hitting the low 20s and plenty of sunshine throughout the day. We pretty much put this on repeat for tomorrow, all ahead of a major warm-up hitting next week. In fact, by Saturday, we'll hit highs in the upper 20s and by Sunday, above freezing. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath & Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 19.
This is AOA, produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And good to have you with us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. As we got a lot to talk about, we're going to have some updates from Capitol Hill here on the show today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up in segment two, we will hear from South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson, get his perspective on things like the ag economy, farm bill, and much more. Many of the House members are in recess this week across the country back in their home districts. Coming up in segment three, we're going to talk with Mississippi Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith to get her thoughts on the ag economy, farm bill, maybe the DOGE impacts on the federal government and particularly at USDA. We'll have a conversation with her coming up after the bottom of the hour. And then at the end of the show, we'll take a look at news headlines. Got plenty of things to catch up on that have been in the news cycle here this week. So a lot to get to on today's AOA. Let's start with the markets. As we see a little bit of green on the screen in the grains, trying to rebound after some sell pressure Wednesday, mixed activity in livestock. Let's talk about it. Joining us now, Brian Splitt with AgMarket.net. Brian, good to hear from you again. I'm guessing, like many folks, you might have a couple extra layers on today with how cold it still is across much of the country.
Oh, man, it's not as bad as it was a few days ago, but it's still, you know, a balmy 10 degrees this morning. At least the sun's out. That helps. And if the wind's not blowing, then that also helps. But those gusts will cut right to the bone.
Exactly. I got a couple layers on, even in my studio. And the heater, the space heater's cranked as well. And I feel for folks who are out calving season and much more working around the farm and ranch. Looking at this grain market, let's start there. I know that on Wednesday, March corn broke below five, but kind of held a support level, it seemed like, around 497. What's your feeling in this corn market overall? I mean, technically, is it looking healthy, or are we concerned that we're maybe bumping up against a top end of a range here, Brian?
Well, we are definitely pushing up against resistance, and mainly when you look at old crops specifically, we're revisiting highs that were made in May of 2024. That was our seasonal late spring, early summer high that we eventually fell from into contract lows. So these are definitely major values that we're revisiting. 508 and a quarter was the high on March. The July contract had a high of 520, so we've kind of been trading in that general area. And you would think it's going to be some good resistance the first time we see it. We might need to pull back, recheck some support, and then make another run at it. But, you know, the beans are actually leading the way today. May soybeans are currently up 11. November's up 9. And there's concerns about warm and dry weather pushing back in Argentina this week. You know, there was rain there, but I tell you what, it really didn't improve the crop substantially, because before that rain came in, I mean, you know, Monday a week ago, it was like 104 degrees in Argentina. So that evaporates pretty quickly. It maybe stabilize things for a little bit, but their crop conditions are definitely still a concern down there.
Very true. And I know in terms of this soy market, something you and I have talked about a few times here, really since the start of the calendar year, has been the soy meal market in particular. You've been watching a lot of charts there. And I think all of that kind of tied to what you're talking about with weather in South America, some of that concern in Argentina, and even some concern in Brazil getting soybeans harvested and safrida corn planted. But I know that weather aspect here has been at least supportive for the most part in the soy complex, Brian.
Yeah, I think when we kind of think back to mid-December, and that was when we kind of pushed through those lows that were made in August, and it priced in, I think, too large of a South American crop. That was a point where estimates were creeping into the, you know, 175, 76 million ton, you know, realm in Brazilian production. So when you start bringing that back to 170, it's still, yes, a very big crop, but it's not as big as I think what we priced in. And now we're seeing concern about Argentina going backwards further. So the size of the South American crop overall has gotten smaller in the last 2 months, not bigger. That's what's lending the support. And, you know, if Argentina really has a longer-lasting production deficit this particular year, we will see the meal market get involved, and that will be supportive from the product side. We haven't really been able to get off the lows here yet in meal, but I think, if anything, we've definitely carved out some very strong value, 280 to 300 a ton. And I think if meal gets above 330 a ton, it's going to run. Bean oil has been another market that's been positive recently too. So products, you know, bean oil has been the stronger product as of late.
Brian, what about some other markets, wheat or cotton or some of the outside markets? I know gold's been on a tear, things of that nature. What are some other markets, some key markets you're keeping an eye on here this week?
Well, yeah, we'll do a quick rundown. Wheat had a head-and-shoulder bottom in the May Chicago contract. That fulfilled its upside objective at 620, and it's since pulled back. It's around 605 right now. The July hard red wheat, so that's the new crop KC contract, has a possible double top in the 653 zone. So that's definitely an area where if you're a wheat producer, we've had a very strong run-up here. We've had some short covering. I don't know if this is going to you know, turn into a bigger rally, but this is definitely an area where some risk management would be reasonable. We've priced in some concerns about winter kill with the temperatures that we've been seeing, which we touched on. And we've had a good run, so I think near 650 on new crop is definitely an area to think about. On cotton's been a rough one for producers, and when you look at December cotton below 70, it's a tough thing to want to put in the ground. I think at some point we're going to get a really low acreage number, and cotton will rally. So if you're putting cotton in the ground, you're hoping for that to come to fruition down the road. But as of right now, it's respecting the downtrend. We just haven't been able to get much going. And so maybe it's after we get the March report and get some low intentions on acres that we start to get some life into that market.
How about the livestock sector, Brian? I know cattle has been kind of chopping around here as of late, and we're seeing some red there on Thursday. What's your take over in the cattle complex?
you know, April live cattle, it's been a very orderly downtrend that we've had since the beginning of the month. And yesterday we went right back up and revisited the downtrend lineup, that downward trending channel. And so here this morning we're seeing some pressure. I'll say the lower end of the channel that we're in, if this kind of just stays orderly, is going to be down around 189 and some change, closer to 190. The 200-day moving average there, I think that's the next downside target if the funds want to continue to have this orderly reduction of their long position. It will get concerning if we start to see some gaps lower, but we've avoided that type of liquidation event. So, and with cash staying firm, hopefully we can find some support and work our way back up. But only time will tell.
Brian Split, agmarket.net. Always good to hear from you, buddy. Thanks for joining us on AOA. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it. Have a great one.
Coming up next, we'll hear from South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson here on AOA.
At Nutrien Ag Solutions, we're dedicated to helping you achieve your full potential by connecting you with the knowledge, tools, and solutions you need for success. Partner with our team of experts who are ready to tackle the unique challenges you face at each stage of the season with customized whole acre solutions. Speak to your local crop consultant or visit us online at NutrienAgSolutions.com to learn how we can work toward feeding the future together.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Agriculture is a busy job and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Did you know?
The FFA trains young people for successful careers in agri-science and engineering, ag marketing, merchandising, sales, and many other careers indispensable to keeping American agriculture on the cutting edge. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all of our local FFA chapters for all of their hard work throughout the entire year, this FFA salute is being brought to you by 24/7 and West Wisconsin Telecom.
For over 70 years, 24/7 and West Wisconsin Telecom has been serving generations of people by bringing smart fiber optic technology to their homes, businesses, and communities. We serve the farmer, relying on ever-changing weather conditions, or the school teacher using computers and tablets to give students cutting-edge skills they can use in the workforce. Securing fast connections for hospitals, doctors, and nurses to bring you the best healthcare possible. Head to WWT.net and let 24/7 and West Wisconsin Telecom bring fiber-fast internet to you.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. As we continue our program, we are working to connect with South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson. So while we get him on the line, a couple notes I'll take a look at here real quick. Let's look at fertilizer prices. There's been some uptick there. Retail fertilizer prices tracked by DTN for the second week of February continue to show most nutrients are more expensive, with three fertilizers noticeably higher. We see that Urea was 9% higher compared to last month with an average price of $536 a ton. UAN 32 was 7% more expensive with an average price of $393 a ton. UAN 28 was 5% higher and had an average price of $342 a ton. Three other fertilizers were slightly more expensive looking back a month. DAP had an average price of $754 a ton, 1034O at $638 a ton, and anhydrous was $747 a ton. Now, one fertilizer was slightly less expensive than a month ago. Potash had an average price of $442 a ton. Now, on a price per pound of nitrogen basis, the average urea price was 58 cents a pound, anhydrous at 46 cents a pound, UAN 28 at 61 cents a pound, and UAN 32 was at 61 cents a pound as well. That is, again, retail fertilizer prices tracked by the folks at DTN for the second week of February. Well, as we continue here on AOA, joining us now, South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson. Congressman, it's great to talk with you again, sir. Hope all is well.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Well, let's dive in, and I'd love your perspective first on the budget reconciliation talks and where we're at with this. I know we're racing towards that March 14th deadline again. What's some of the latest you're hearing on where we're at in terms of avoiding a government shutdown more?
Yeah, a government shutdown would be stupid, and nobody would really benefit from a government shutdown. And that generally means your chances of shutting down are 0%. Even if it looks bleak in that kind of an environment, normally everybody just gets their act together. Of course, all of that is very frustrating. But we're in a situation now where my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are, just to be honest, they're big mad about some of the Elon Musk efforts. They have been less engaged in negotiations than normal. I'm sure some of your listeners wonder, well, gosh, Dusty, if the Republicans have the House and the White House and the Senate, why can't you guys just fund government? And the reality is it still takes 60 votes in the Senate to do your normal annual appropriations. Of course, Republicans only have 53 senators, which means any budget, any final appropriations deal is going to be a bipartisan work product. And so right now, I think we're in a really tough spot, but I'm confident that the big boys and the big girls are going to understand that the only thing a shutdown does is weaken America. Let's get our work done.
You mentioned some of the efforts from Doge and Elon Musk. Are you concerned about any of the impacts that we're seeing initially, say, at USDA? Or is this something where we just need to watch this whole process play out, Congressman?
Yeah, I do think there is. I don't want to indicate that any of us should be passive, but I do think we want to make sure that before people rush to conclusions that they're gathering good data about exactly what is done. It is clear that the Doge process, Elon Musk, President Trump, they're moving quickly. They want to make big decisions. That is more of a private sector approach. Sometimes you get big, innovative companies that want to move quickly and break a few things along the way. That is not the typical federal government response. And so this is culturally, I think it's difficult. Many of these disruptions really need to happen. Others of the disruptions, of course, I think it's okay for people to have concerns about. The bottom line, when we see that a decision has been made that we don't think is good for America, then I think we got to identify it. We got to, in a constructive way rather than a politically combative way, I think we got to try to figure out how to go fix that. To the extent, I'm just every day trying to be constructive, because I do think a lot of these Doge efforts on the whole, on the net, are the kind of things our federal government should have been doing for a long time.
When it comes to the ag economy, I'm curious what you are hearing from your constituents. And I know that kind of ties into getting a new farm bill done as well and getting some more certainty for producers. What is your view on where things are with some of the concern in rural America in regards to the ag economy right now?
Those concerns are real. In the Great Plains, obviously, corn and beans are soft, although not as soft as they were a bit ago. But really in the South, a number of the commodities in the South are in much worse shape. And it took me a little bit longer as a Northerner to really appreciate the stress and some of the real impacts that was happening on the balance sheet. But we do need another, we need a new five-year farm bill. I'm pretty bullish for the first time in a while that we're going to be able to get our work done. New Senate Ag Chairman John Bozeman has been way more engaged, and I think he is sending more messages that he wants to get something done sooner rather than later. I just always had a hard time getting a sense from former Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow that she wanted the thing to happen. I was always a little bit confused by that. I would also just to say good things about my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. I do think with ranking members Amy Klobuchar and Angie Craig, both of whom are new into their positions, they understand the importance of farm and ranch country, rural development more generally. I think we're going to find lots of areas to partner together.
We're talking with South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson here today on AOA. Congressman, I spent some time at the National Ethanol Conference this week, and the topic of conversation surrounded E15. I know that year-round legislation has been reintroduced on Capitol Hill, but then also there was some discussion about, is there the political will to continue to expand renewable fuels opportunities for U.S. producers such as sustainable aviation fuel, et cetera, et cetera. What are your thoughts on some of that renewable fuels, ethanol landscape, E15, et cetera, that is a talking point on Capitol Hill right now?
Yeah, E15 is a no-brainer in my mind. I can't even believe that we have to debate this. I mean, this is not a mandate at the pump. This is just making sure that if a gas station owner wants to, and if a consumer wants to, that E15 can be sold there at the pump. And that can have such a powerful impact on the American economy. For us to, in essence, increase our biofuels potential by 8 billion gallons a year, that is a no-brainer if we care about American energy. It's environmentally, it's a stronger product. I think we're going to get that done. It has been far too tortured a journey up to this point. You know, in the last EPA, we did not have as many friends as we would have liked there. But I think we're moving in the right direction. Now, as far as the broader long-term opportunities for biofuels, I don't think many people understand how big sustainable aviation fuel can be. I just talked about, 8 billion gallons. That's a huge amount of fuel. But the global sustainable global aviation fuel market is 200 billion. So even if we just carved out 10% of that for an ag-based product in the intermediate term, that would be, that 20 billion gallons is bigger than the 16 billion gallon annual RFS. That is a lot of fuel.
Well, I think about this as well, some of the impacts, even in your home state, when it comes to the carbon pipeline issue. I know that's a hot button topic, but that's tied in with the future of SAF and in infrastructure investment and much more. So it seems like there's a lot of things kind of hanging in the balance here when you think about this broader picture right now.
Yeah, there are lots of pieces of infrastructure that have to be developed anytime you've got a new industry. It's always going to take way more patience and way more capital than it should. You need innovators willing to go make something happen. Now, Cody, not every proposed project is a good project. I mean, people do have to meet their burden of proof under the law. Those processes take a long time. But I believe in the American innovative spirit. I believe in the power of biofuels, and I just have got to believe that we are going to long term have those fuels play a much bigger role in the American economy.
Congressman, we're up against the clock. Always enjoy a conversation. Appreciate a few minutes of your time, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again real soon here on AOA. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks.
Congressman Dusty Johnson from South Dakota joining us here today on AOA. Coming up next, we will continue the conversation from Capitol Hill. We'll talk with Mississippi Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith. She'll join us after this here on AOA Agriculture of America.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
There's no such thing as too much caring. That's why Gunderson Health System and Bellin Health have come together to form Amplify Health. The same doctors you trust, the same hospitals and clinics you count on, the same great care. All amplified by an even higher focus on empathy. Amplify Health is more than just a new name. It's a way to make personalized care more personal than ever. Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins reporting from the Chippewa Valley Ag Conference. March milk up 16 on the day to 1924. April up 12 to 1893. May up 10 to 1897. June up 2 at 1832. Meanwhile, live cattle and feeder cattle markets were mostly lower as the technical selling continues. Concerns about demand, also a big jump in corn and bean markets, also pressuring the live cattle markets. Hogs moving mostly lower due to strength in pork, or weakness rather, in pork cutout values once again. February live cattle down 20 cents to 197.62. March feeder cattle down 220 to 266.82. April hogs down $1.22 to 88.52. Chicago Board of Trade corn and soybean set moved mostly higher as the trade continues to hold at the upper end of the trading range as well. Now it looks like the also seeing some strength as well with the basis due to the winter weather moving along slowly. Soybeans mostly higher due to strength in some of the soybean products as well. Meanwhile, wheat markets lower in Chicago against some moderating weather in the plains did provide some pressure to the markets along with lower MATIF wheat prices. New crop corn up 3 to 479 and a half. New crop beans up 10 to 1061 and a quarter. March wheat down 6.5 to 585 and a half. Minneapolis wheat March down 2.25 to 631 and a quarter. From the Chippewa Valley Ag Conference, I'm Brian Winnekins.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Joining us now on AOA, always great to have a conversation with Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi. Senator, it's great to hear from you again. Thanks for joining us, and I hope all is well.
It is. It's very cold in Washington, D.C. today, but we're excited about a new administration. A lot of good things are happening, and we've got challenges in the ag world, but we're certainly ready to address them.
I would agree. It is very cold for many folks across the country. And I'll also agree that we have some challenges that we need to address. And I know that the Senate has been talking a lot about the ag economy, various hearings. And I know there's another one coming up on the ag economy. Obviously, at the end of December, we saw that economic aid get passed and is set to go out to producers. What are you hearing from folks regarding the ag economy? What is some of the latest that you're hearing in hearings or from your constituents right now?
Well, I've heard from a lot of constituents, I'll be honest with you. And we had meetings like back in December and even before then, starting in August. So, you know, it's just with the input cost, Jesse, that has been so difficult to deal with in this economy. The last 4 years, the inflation, the interest rates, it's really made it hard to pencil out. So the input cost, along the cost, the high cost of fuel, just really inflated the budget of what they had to live by. And we know what the costs are for the commodities and the programs. The input cost just was through the roof, and the cost, the prices of our goods were lower. They were higher 15 years ago than they are right now. So we had the perfect storm, huge input cost, and then low prices for the product. And it's just put so many producers in such a compromising situation. So, you know, we're looking for a long-term fix, a sustainability there, trying to get the farm bill where it needs to be. And but I heard from my producers, when the lenders come to you, when ag lenders come to you and they say, Cindy, we're not going to be able to finance these crops next year, it really gets your attention. So we went into action doing what we could for the supplemental before December. But now we want a farm bill that is really conducive to the risks that are taking and the risk management that you have to deal with.
In terms of that farm bill, let's talk about that a little bit. I know it's been a heavy lift as we've been trying to get something done. And I know it's a renewed focus for many folks on Capitol Hill here in the 119th Congress. Realistically, what are your thoughts on how soon we could see this farm bill get hashed out between the House and Senate? I mean, is summer a realistic timeline right now? I know we have a lot of other things in front of us kind of on the plate when it comes to government, you know, shutdown potential here in a few weeks and things like that. So what's a realistic timeline for the farm bill?
Well, that's really hard to predict, but you've got a lot of eager folks here that want to make it happen. You know, we are very serious about this. The House is very serious about it. And I think with Chairman Bozeman, he's quite capable of getting those negotiations going to, you know, work out the things that we have to work through. Because we have some very concerned producers that are definitely ringing our phones here in Washington, D.C. We're hearing from them. We're very eager to make it happen. We just want a good farm bill that's going to address all the issues. And I think we're poised to do that.
What is your impression of from the Democratic side with Senator Klobuchar now as the ranking member there and then Angie Craig on the House side, both of them from farm states? Does it feel like there's maybe more willingness to work in a bipartisan manner to get a farm bill done?
We normally do. The farm bill is something we normally have great bipartisan support. You know, when you have a new administration and we have a new chairman now, things change. But I believe that it will be a good working relationship and that we will get it accomplished.
Okay. All right. In terms of the new administration, I know that's coupled in here as well. There's been a lot of talk about the tariffs and being used as a negotiation tool and just some of the overhaul that is going on right now in the federal government. What have you heard from the Trump administration and some of their willingness to look at things like the ag economy here and help to get a farm bill done, et cetera? What's your overall view of what we've seen here in the first month plus of the new administration?
I think that, first of all, you know, I have personally spoken with the president, and he has assured me, Cindy, I'm here to help farmers, ranchers, producers out there. I'm not here to hurt them. Tariffs are a great tool. We have to have negotiating power. You read the articles and you see the alarms of, oh my goodness, the tariffs are just going to crush farmers and ranchers. I do not believe that that's going to happen. I believe that he's very reasonable about this. And I do know that he understands how important agriculture is, but he does want us to get in a position that we have a level playing field, that farmers are getting what they need for their crops, and that, you know, with this global economy that we're working with, it is truly a global market. He is very aware of, let us get in a good position that we can equally compete.
I know there's been a lot of talk about DOGE and some of their impacts right now. Are you concerned about some of those impacts of some of the federal workforce layoffs possibly impacting at, say, USDA?
You know, there's a lot of conversation about that. I think a lot of good things are happening with this accountability group here. I think they're positive. Jesse, it amazes me how many Americans are so in tune right now that have never been in the past. But when we've gone through the last 4 years that we've gone through with the economy, with social issues, people are paying attention now when they weren't before. There's a lot of positives that are there. There's a lot of waste. There's a lot of trimming that needs to be done. But bottom line, you've got people in place that they're definitely level-headed, making good decisions. We're going to have bumps along the way. There may be, you know, a line item with a position that really doesn't indicate what the position does that's done away with. Those are the things you have to go back and justify and bring them back where they're needed. So it's just a process, but I think we're going in the right direction. I think the intentions are nothing but pure, and that they want to make sure that it's profitable for producers. So yeah, we're going to have bumps. We've got a new administration. The first few days have been unbelievable. The first 100 days, I think, will be very telling. But there's a dust storm going on, but the dust is going to settle.
We are talking with Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi here on AOA today. Senator, I know you've been named the chairwoman on a subcommittee on the Ag Committee here on commodities, derivatives, risk management, and trade. Any priorities for you as you lead that specific subcommittee in this Congress?
Well, you know, we just want logical things that work. And I'm sure that we will have several meetings on that. But I'm really thrilled to be in that position, that we can make sure we keep the train on the track, that things that are happening that are conducive to our producers that are going to be beneficial. You know, farmers are such hardworking people. They're smart people. We have to have the federal government in our lives. But I just want to make sure that I use this chairmanship to make sure things that are reasonable, they keep out the regulations that are not reasonable, to be the defender, to be the voice, to carry the torch for the producers. I mean, we're ranchers in Mississippi. This is my life. Mm-hmm. I have been in it forever. I'm a former ag commissioner, so I'm very in tune to the needs. But I just want to use this position to make sure that we get the best benefit for the farmers and reasonable solutions.
I do want to ask you about this as well. You, along with your Senate colleague Merkley from Oregon, have introduced a bill to authorize a CDC Office of Rural Health. And I think for a lot of our listeners, obviously in rural America, access to health care has been an issue for quite some time. Talk about some of your focus on rural health and trying to improve things for farmers, ranchers, and folks in small towns across the country.
It is incredibly important. And the telehealth has worked so well, but we want to make things that some permanent solutions, that it's not in a crisis mode constantly. And I know that that's a tall drink of water right there, but it is so important. Farming is a dangerous occupation. But just for those rural areas that are struggling to keep the doors open in the hospitals, their employers there, they're so needed. And we just wanted to step out to make all rural America to have benefits that are so, you know, the enhancement there, that it's going to always be there. Very important for our small hospitals. And I'm a true advocate for rural health care because we know what it is. You know, whether it's an infection, whether it's the ER, whether it's the first step to you get to a trauma center, they've really struggled. And I am very conscious of that. And I truly want to be a leader there.
Senator, any final thoughts as we wrap up here today?
Well, you know, it's cold in Washington, D.C. today, but I tell you, that's the only thing cold. The halls of Congress are piping hot, and we're getting a lot of good things. America has hope now. I traveled the country during the campaigns, and I talked to so many people in rural America out there, and it is just an exciting time to know that we're going in a positive direction. We're taking care of issues that should have been taken care of a long time ago. And I am truly excited to have a front row seat to see the positive things happen in this country.
Well, we appreciate the time and we'll look forward to a conversation again down the road. With that, Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi, thanks for being with us on AOA today. Always appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity, Jesse. Have a good rest of your day.
Vision loss.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owner's agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay & Associates.
FFA members adhere to a code of ethics to promote their own development and make a positive difference in the lives of others. They strive to be courteous, honest, and fair, modest in winning, and generous in defeat, developing the traits of great leadership. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all the hard work our local FFA chapters do throughout the year, this FFA salute is brought to you by Dunn Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
It's good to know that your Touchstone Energy Cooperative is always there. For generations, we've powered the growth of our neighborhoods, our businesses, and everything in between. Today, our commitment is stronger than ever to provide affordable energy you can depend on and keep you connected to what matters most, now and for generations to come.
Dunn Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Looking for outdoor power equipment for your lawn and garden projects? Anibis Silo is your home for Husqvarna and Toro lawn and garden equipment. Anibis Silo has the right equipment solution for you to tackle any job. Need a piece of equipment repaired? Anibis Silo also now has small engine service and repair. The service staff can repair all makes and models of lawn and garden equipment. Visit Anibis Silo, Highway 25 Durand, for your lawn and garden equipment needs.
Vacation or a school field trip. But there you were, standing in awe at a national park. We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today, tomorrow, forever. Donate at nationalparks.org/foundation.
At Nutrien Ag Solutions, we're dedicated to helping you achieve your full potential by connecting you with the knowledge, tools, and solutions you need for success. Partner with our team of experts who are ready to tackle the unique challenges you face at each stage of the season with customized whole acre solutions. Speak to your local crop consultant or visit us online at NutrienAgSolutions.com to learn how we can work toward feeding the future together.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-888-888-888. 800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back as we take a look at news headlines. Well, there are questions abound about the health and direction of the farm economy, and understandably so. A lot of folks are seeing the challenges across rural America right now. Ben Brown, an ag economist with the University of Missouri's Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, says he's getting a lot of questions about the overall U.S. economy.
I've been getting more and more questions about the macro economy and just kind of where we see things going as it relates to consumer expenditures, as it relates to the employment market, and then frankly, interest rates. You know, that's one of the things that really can impact agriculture producers a lot is how much they're paying for operating notes at the beginning of the year that they repay back at the end of the year. So a lot of questions about where interest rates could go in the months ahead.
He talks about the impact and direction of interest rates in the months ahead.
So I've been of the opinion that interest rates are maybe a little bit lower right now than where we probably need to see them to have a neutral position. That's my opinion. Others might disagree, and certainly there's people all over the spectrum. But my opinion is that last year in 2024, we saw a 1 percentage point decrease in the federal funds rate. That's that short-term federal funds rate set by the Federal Reserve. We saw a full percent in half maybe was justified. I felt like the other half was just the market moving because that's what the Fed did, because that's what the market was expecting them to do.
And Brown says it's unlikely that interest rates can stay where they're at.
Given the inflation data that we've seen both at the consumer level and at the wholesale level in the last couple of months, I have a really hard time seeing how the Fed can just maintain interest rates where they're at. And certainly, I wouldn't remove the possibility of an interest rate hike here before May or June. To look at last week's inflation data, you know, the consumer price index came up month over month higher than even what the expectations were. That's the third straight month that we've seen inflation come in hotter than expected. And the producer price index was also up, signaling that that wholesale inflation will eventually trickle down to consumer inflation as well. So I do think we're seeing the prices increase faster than expected. And I think that's got the Federal Reserve a little bit concerned.
That's Ben Brown with the University of Missouri. Well, the USDA released its annual chicken and egg summary this past week, which presents data on the number of egg layers, egg production, and the total U.S. chicken inventory as of December 1st of 2024. Barrett Nelson, an economist with the American Farm Bureau, says the report gives important insight into the U.S. poultry flock.
According to this report, layers in 2024 were estimated at an average of 375 million. Now, this is down about 2% from last year. Our egg production from layers totaled 109 billion eggs, down 1%. Lastly, let's talk about the overall chicken inventory. Now, this came in at 514 million birds, down about 2% from last year.
While USDA expects a modest increase in the price of broiler chickens, egg prices have taken a much more significant jump.
eggs have come up dramatically over the last couple of months. The average New York wholesale price for large eggs for the last week of January was $7.46 a dozen, more than 150% of where we were at $2.94 last year. The annual average price projection by USDA for eggs is now $4.44 a dozen.
Now, of course, the biggest factor behind the changes is highly pathogenic avian influenza. However, the current report doesn't include the birds lost so far in 2025, which means the report doesn't reflect what consumers are currently seeing at the grocery store.
The U.S. lost about 43 million birds in January and February after this report. Now, this is about 25% or a quarter of all the birds affected since the outbreak began in 2022. And this is not yet captured in this report.
That's American Farm Bureau Federation economist Barrett Nelson. You can find more at fb.org. Well, another case of New World screwworm was found in a Mexican cow south of the border. Despite that, USDA says it won't limit cattle imports from Mexico. Reuters says U.S. cattle supplies in recent months grew tight after Washington, D.C. blocked Mexican livestock shipments into the U.S. in late November due to the screwworm. The World Organization for Animal Health says the disease was found in a cow located in the Mexican state of Tabasco. The pest can infect wildlife, cattle, and in rare cases, people. Maggots from the screwworm flies burrow into the skin of living animals, causing serious and often fatal damage. USDA says the comprehensive pre-clearance inspection and treatment protocol will help cattle and bison move safely from Mexico into the United States, as America's cattle supplies are at their lowest levels in more than 70 years. Well, layoffs in government have come to the U.S. Meat Animal Research Council in Clay Center, Nebraska. Laura Field, the executive vice president of the Nebraska Cattlemen, says the news about the layoffs at U.S. Mark is concerning.
We are very fortunate to have them located here in Nebraska, but this is not just a Nebraska issue. U.S. Mark's footprint is across the country and across the world. We would be the first ones to say, yes, we agree there's efficiencies in government that are needed and there are things that should be considered, but U.S. Mark is not one of those things. U.S. Mark is vitally important in the mission they have. So it's a concern. It was maybe a little surprising to us to hear it, but it's definitely a concern going forward to make sure that they can continue to keep everything there going, keep the animals going, and then keep the research going as well.
In addition to lost manpower, the layoffs also affect the large number of animals housed at the research center.
There's over 25,000 head of livestock, and we certainly pay very close attention on the beef cattle side, but they've got sheep, they've got swine down there, they've got dairy cattle. There's all kinds of things that they have to do day in and day out. And I think right now with the cold weather we're experiencing, it's even more important, as we know, those cattle have to be fed every day. U.S. Mark also grows crops that go into their feed rations and hay that they use to feed livestock. You know, they've seen technicians lost and researchers and even just statisticians that are helping keep that data together and keeping things running. So all of those things together, it's a real world issue for us to face.
When considering potential cuts in government employment, Field wants the Trump administration to remember how important agriculture is to every American.
They've done so much unique work down there, looking at respiratory disease, looking at heart disease, looking at food safety and improving cattle fertility, all the things that they do that make the decisions that ranchers make every day so impactful. Like, they are doing the research that says this is what you should do. This is how you should do it. I think it's just such a unique place, and it's a world-class research facility. You know, it's a lot of people don't realize the things that go on down there, and they already run on a very tight budget. They run on a very shoestring crew. And so, you know, Nebraska Cattlemen has been advocating for many, many years for more support for U.S. Mark.
And once again, that is comments with Laura Field, Executive Vice President for the Nebraska Cattlemen. We are out of time here today on the show. Coming up on our next program, we'll catch up with DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely. We'll hear about what he learned during the National Ethanol Conference this past week. We'll take a look at the markets with Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge, and we'll hear a conversation that I had talking tire tips as we get ready for spring planting with Chris Snyder from Trelleborg during the National Farm Machinery Show. For now, though, we're out of time. Thanks for listening to AOA. Have a great rest of your day.
Helping your inner circle prepare for emergencies can start in many ways. Put together an emergency kit with Wipol. Create a family communication plan with your tita. Remind Bai to keep a backup battery charged. It all starts with a simple step, telling those you care about to be ready for the worst. So start a conversation and plan for emergencies together. Get more tips at ready.gov/start. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do.
Do you have 3 ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy 3 times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number 2. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country, 1430 AM stereo, WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate confirmed Kash Patel to head the FBI today. The vote 51 to 49, with 2 Republicans joining Democrats in a no vote. ABC's Pierre Thomas has more.